I invite you to turn your Bibles a little to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. On Wednesday evenings, we've been studying about all things, or most all things, related and pertaining to the grape connected thereto. And I trust it's been an interesting study for you. It has for me, how many things we've touched upon the subjects related to the grape and the scripture, and how the Lord, what the Lord tells us about that, the Lord's provision in that, and then most recently how the Lord uses such an allegory, explaining and telling us about things regarding His kingdom. We looked at time before last, Wednesday before last, and the Wednesday before that, about how the Lord referred to Israel as His vine. Then he, in the New Testament, we saw last Wednesday, refers to himself as the vine, and we the branches. And just interesting how the Lord does that and uses that, the picture that he gives us in that. And tonight we want to go on, last time we took a look at that about vinegar in the Scripture and how it is, in the Scripture, is soured wine. And so, continuing on now, everything else that we'll be dealing with will be in this category of allegory, where this of the grape or the cup or the vine or the vineyard will be used to tell us some things about the Lord's working and things that will be, things that are, and things that we deal with now. Tonight, we want to take a look about the Lord's use of the word vineyard. And in the parable sense, a parable's being a part of allegory, as we have mentioned before. And the Lord spoke many parables in the New Testament, in the Scriptures, during His ministry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, he's speaking here to the church at Corinth about ministers and the provision for ministers, pastors, ministers, missionaries in the work. And there's a point here that we can grab a hold of and will help us with what we're going to take a look at tonight, a principle that's at hand. In verse number 7, he asks this question, "Who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges?" Speaking about soldiers. Soldiers go forth being prepared most generally by another. If there is a captain, a leader, a king, they have the purpose and the pursuit of the warfare. Even mercenaries will have a leader and then are paid by that one that hires them out. Who goeth to warfare any time of his own charges? No Roman soldier undertook the pursuits of Rome at his own expense. He was equipped. He was paid. Okay, so that's what's being referred to there. Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Okay, so there's another thing. Would anybody plant a vineyard, do the work that we see in the Scripture, and we'll see again tonight about what it takes to put in a vineyard, and not expect to bring in the harvest and enjoy the harvest of that, and whether it would be to eat it, use it, make wine from it, drink it, sell it, whatever it would be. Would anybody plant a vineyard and just let it go? He goes on to say, and planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof, or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? And so, cattlemen, those that raise cattle, Brother Bobby was talking about, we were talking with Brother Bobby here recently about, there are those that do raise some cattle just for the fun of it. But generally, cattle raisers are raising cattle so they can benefit from it, whether it be buying and trading and selling, or butchering them and using them for food, or with dairy cows, milking them, same like with goats, with sheep for the wool and such as that. And so the principle here is at hand is, who undertakes a work and doesn't expect something back from it? And namely this, what the Scripture says about who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof. I invite you to turn now over to Matthew chapter 21. We are here very near, days within the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus. And over the past several years, we've touched at different times on this, the subject matter of this chapter. These accounts can be found over also in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11 and 12, if you'd want to put that in your notes, either taking notes and look at that parallel that's there. Also in Luke chapter 19 and 20. It's all concise here in chapter 21, and so I'm going to use that tonight. Brother Jason Schultz, some years ago, brought a message about the triumphant entry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was a real blessing to me, and speaking with some of you, it was certainly a blessing to you, I understand, and just having, it's one of those messages you don't forget, it sticks with you, and a lot of blessed things that he pointed out there in that, and it has really stirred help and understanding about it and looking into it. Well, this chapter, this account here tells about such, and verses there in chapter 21 of Matthew, in verses 1 through 17, we hear that account, and that's been touched upon many times. The Lord tells them to go get this donkey, and it's full, and they'll find it at a certain place, and go ahead and get it. If a man challenges them about getting it, say the master hath need of him, and the fellow say, okay, and they go and take it. Then over at Bethpage, Bethany, they take it back to the Lord. That's where the Lord is. They put their garments on it, and he gets upon the foal, and they begin to head towards Jerusalem. And we refer that to that as the triumphant entry. And preached a message here recently about how it was at the Feast of Tabernacles that the children, it was common, historically we understand, about the children having those palm branches causing them to make a noise and shouting Hosanna there. They're used to that at the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall. Here, this is more towards this is in the spring, and they're so overtaken. The people that lay down their clothes and lay down palm branches in the way, the Lord Jesus coming all the way to Jerusalem, and then they're in the temple, it says in verse number 15, and the children, it says the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the healing that he did, and the children crying in the temple. That doesn't mean they're weeping, boo-hoo. They're crying, Hosanna. They're shouting and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They're taking Jesus and associating him with King David, connecting him. And it is a spectacle, a blessed thing indeed. And those chief priests, they were sore displeased. And then the Lord tells them about how we've looked at there in Psalm 8, about out of the mouth of babes, indeed the Lord has perfected praise. And so we have that about the Lord's entry and those things connected with that. And then in the verses after that, we have here in verses 18 through 22 about the cursed fig tree. Have you ever scratched your head about the cursed fig tree? If we're honest, and the Lord teaches us, but honestly, when I was younger in the faith and closer to being saved than now what the Lord has blessed me with and being older in the Lord, and that's not a brag, it's just where we all are. We all grow. I would scratch my head reading it several times and scratch my head about it. But here it is, the Lord's taking a fig tree there on the way into Jerusalem the next day, and he curses it. It's springtime. There's not a hope that it would have any fruit on it. But because it has no fruit on it, he curses it. And when they come back out, the disciples, the apostles, marvel about how soon it's withered away. In a day. Less than a day. And they're amazed by that. The Lord directs them. And I find this interesting. The Lord directs them to having faith in the Lord. And that, having faith in the Lord for the things that we desire. And there's more there that we can deal with. We just don't have time tonight. I want to make note of a passage in Luke 13. Maybe there'll be a message down the road here regarding this. But in Luke chapter 13, the Lord Jesus tells in verses 6 through 9 about a man that planted a fig tree. in his vineyard. I want you to remember that. He planted a fig tree in his vineyard, came looking for figs on it after 3 years and found none. Or had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, came looking for figs, and didn't find any. And the dresser of the vineyard says, the dresser says there, he kind of pleads for it, and he says, let me dung it, let me feed it, let me tend to it, and then if you come back and you don't find any, then well. Okay, but the fig tree was planted in the vineyard. I find that more interesting now. And so, and interesting there that the reference is 3 years, 3 years. And then here in Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 through 27, the Lord Jesus' authority is questioned. Who gave you authority to come in here and straighten out the temple like you? Who are you to think that the temple needs to be straightened out at all? And then who are you to come in here and throw out the money changers and throw out those that are carrying animals through the temple and selling animals in the temple and exchanging money? Who are you? So then the Lord says, well, let's deal with what you want to deal with authority. We'll deal with authority. Tell me about John the Baptist. Was he just another guy's good idea? Or was he from God? And then they are honest amongst themselves, but they are not honest publicly because they said, well, if we tear down John, the people will probably stone us. And then if we say that John was from God, then he'll ask us, why didn't we obey him? So then they say, we can't tell. And so then the Lord's authority is questioned in that, and he says, well, I'm not going to tell you by what authority I do these things. Triumphant entry, the fig tree that is cursed, the Lord's authority is questioned. The Lord takes it back to them about authority and who sent John and the one with the message, the forerunner of Christ. And then we come to these parables that the Lord tells here regarding a vineyard. In verse number 28, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And the same, and he came to the second son, and said, likewise, go work in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. He asked this question, whither of them, verse 31, whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you, speaking to the religious leadership. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness. He just asked him about John. And John came to you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. So now, the Lord takes this about two sons going to work in the vineyard. There's this vineyard here, and the father says, go work. And the one says, I'll not do it. But he repented and said, he went ahead and went. And then the second said he would go, but he didn't at all. And he asked, who did the will of the Father? And he said, the first. And what's the characteristic of the first? Oh, he was willful at the beginning, wasn't he? He said, no, I'll not go. But then in time he repented. He was brought to a point, he saw that that was wrong. He saw that that was not the will of the Father. He saw that that wasn't what a son should do. A son should obey. You know what? He went ahead and obeyed. The second gave lip service, said, yeah, I'll go. Yeah. He never went. And so you know what we see here in regards to this, the Lord taking this of the vineyard, and using it in this parabolistic way, he's taking things that are understood about a man and sons in a vineyard, and he's explaining to us, telling us about a greater heavenly kingdom truth. And who is the Father? Well, we know God Almighty is the Father, isn't he? And has he said anything? He sure has. Will he honor lip service? He sure will not. But you know what he honors? Repentance and obedience. Okay? So in this, I think, and in the context, in the total context of this, he tells that there is hope at hand for the repentant. How many of the priesthood and how many of the leadership of Israel in the Lord's day, in the day of his ministry, were saved? Few. But you know what? There were some. Because they believed. They received it. They if they had bucked against it, they quit bucking against it and during the time and what they saw and heard out of the Lord, and they received it and they'd obeyed it. Because two men, we understand to be in the Sanhedrin, went and buried our Lord on the Sabbath day, when it was unlawful for them to mess with such. I mean, they were in a hurry, and they even, Joseph of Arimathea, even went to Pilate. And that was going to be revealing him to take the body of Christ. Because you know what they usually did with the bodies? Historically, we're told they just took them off of the cross and dumped them over the hill. Then we come on to this in verse number 33. Hear another parable, he says. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it about, round about, and digged a wine press in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. So, can you see that picture in your mind? A householder, a man with ability and wherewithal. He plants a vineyard, and so you see the rows of the vines. And what's it say? And hedged it round about. So then he planted something else, a hedgerow round about it to protect it, keep the animals out of it and such. He digged a wine press in it. Now, what's that for? Well, that's part of the processing of the grapes, isn't it? Is to make wine. It's part of the harvest. The wine is made to put it up in store and for them to have something to drink throughout the balance of the year till the next harvest. He's setting up a full-blown operation here. Well, also in this vineyard, what would they do? They would make raisins. They would. That would be part of what they would do there. They would harvest the grapes to eat them outright. And so he's making provision for every aspect of what this crop and this vineyard would bring. He says, and they built a tower, a lookout tower. Maybe even a tower that they could take water and put up in it so they could water the vineyard to keep it hydrated, to get it through the season so it would grow. Somebody that knew what they were doing would know when it was critical to water and maybe when you could let it slide by. A watchtower to watch out for the animals, the birds that would come in and possibly destroy the fruit of the vineyard. He's making every provision that's necessary with the vineyard, isn't he? And then he, after doing so, he let it out to husbandmen. These are those that know what to do with what he has provided. They're husbandmen. They know about tending to vineyards. They know about all the harvesting of such, the watering of such. And maybe if there would be any need of instruction, he would provide such. And he rents it out to them, lets it out to them, share crops it with them, rents it out right, whatever. And then he takes a trip. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. So, you know what? He knows what time the harvest comes in, doesn't he? And so he sends his servants. He lives away from the vineyard, some distance, evidently. And so he sends his servants to them, and that they might receive the fruits of it. He has an expectation, his cut, his payment, whatever it is, however it is. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. So it sounds like he's sending them one at a time. Or if he sent them in groups, they did what they did to them, and as it says, beat one, killed another, stoned another. And so he sends his servants and sends another servant and sends another servant, and they don't come back. Again, he sent other servants more than the first. He keeps on sending servants. It's collection time. It's expected. We can understand that in the operation of life. Remember, it is a parable. And the husbandmen that were there, they did unto those that he sent otherwise. He, the other servants, afterward the first, they did the same thing to them. Verse 37. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. He has expectation, the husbandman or the householder does, that they have some reverence for him. And therefore, and certainly in that culture, the son represents the father. I mean, that's really big in this culture of the Jews in that time and that part of the world. And so he expecting them to reverence him, he said, they'll reverence my son. And they'll stop this mischief and pay what they should pay. Give what they should give from the harvest. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. This is the follow-up to the father. This is the householder's son and his future. Come, let us kill him. And let us seize on his inheritance. Which, what inheritance are they talking about? His vineyard. Because when the daddy dies, the vineyard is going to be the son's. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? So a parable here, using this of a vineyard and painting this picture for us. We see these characters and the different ones involved and what they do and these husbandmen and their ill, wicked way. And even they do that to the son. You know, that just would make one's blood boil. It was terrible what they did to the servants and those messengers that had been sent by the householder. But then that they would do that to the son, I mean, it would just roil anyone up. And so the Lord asks, he says, the Lord therefore of the vineyard, when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, because in the killing of the son, he surely will, won't he? He's been sending servants. He's been sending stewards. He's been sending different ones. Then he sent his son, and then they did what they did to his son. You think the Lord of the vineyard will not be the next one to show up? He will be, won't he? When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? And I tell you what, the Lord lays that out there, and he allows their own thinking and emotion to fester up and well up into them. I mean, they are roiled by this. They have hatred towards the husbandman in this parable. And the Lord lays that out there and says, what will he do? They say unto him, verse 41, he will miserably destroy. He says that's what he will do. He will miserably destroy those wicked men. And will let out his vineyard, rent out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. So they give an answer. And they tell regarding the householder and the Lord of the vineyard and what he will do. They said, he'll destroy those guys. Those men, he will destroy them. because of what they've done, the way they've done, the disservice, what they, the dishonesty that they've been towards him, and the wicked things that they have done, and even slaying his own son, he will destroy them. And he'll take that vineyard, he'll give it somebody else to work. And you know what? Those other husbandmen, they say this, they'll render him the fruits in their seasons. They'll pay. They'll do as the purpose and the design is. The householder builds the vineyard. He makes all the preparation, provides everything. He lets it out, the husbandman. And you know what? When it comes time, they'll give the due of the vineyard. So what do you think? Well, isn't that what we see in this chapter? Isn't it so that the time has come that our Lord Jesus has come to his nation, looking for his due? God has sent his Son to collect his due. Is the Lord interested in the fruit of a vineyard? No. See, that's just the parable side of it. You know what the Lord is interested in, what the Lord is due? Honor, glory, praise, and being received for who he is. He came in on that donkey, the foal of that donkey, and the people and the children received him gladly, but not the leadership. They hated him. They're even in those days figuring out how they can do away with him. And they, being the leadership and being representative, or being represented by the husbandmen here, the ones that will pursue to put the son to death, the ones that will lead the people and have not taken their position, their calling, their position, their station. You know what Jesus said to him? He said to the people, he said, the priests and the scribes and lawyers and those guys, they sit in Moses' seat. What they bid you do, do. But don't do like them. Yeah. Don't be like them. Don't be hypocritical like them. And see, they were the front end of responsibility. See, this whole world is the Lord's vineyard. And he's created us, and he's put us in it, and he's provided for us very, very well, hasn't he? And does he do some wine and some grapes and some raisins? No. He's due honor, glory, worship, and praise. He is due being received in what he has said and the way that he said it. See, the householder rented it out. The householder undertook to build it in the first place and provision it and provide for it. And then he let it out to cattlemen? No, he let it out to husbandmen. There's a responsibility. There's an understanding. There is a word of instruction. Just like God's given his word and told you and me about everything about life and his expectation and living in eternity, about our sin, about our need, about his son as our Savior, as the Savior that each and every person needs. So when it came time for the Lord to come and receive his due, he was rejected, wasn't he? And see, isn't that the wonder of the Lord? It didn't thwart the Lord. Because even in that, even in him giving himself and they killing him, we killing him, he offering himself up, it made it to where a sinner like you and I can be saved. Because God will not be thwarted. It goes on to say here in verse number 42, you're familiar with it, he says here, Jesus said unto them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. He's asking the question. The Old Testament reference is not a question. It's a statement. But he's asked, didn't you read that? Haven't you read that? About the rejecting of the Son who the Father sent? In the parable saying, they'll reverence my Son. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. The Lord Jesus is telling those leaders that are there, he's saying the kingdom of God, the vineyard, is going to be taken from you. And shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. The Lord Jesus Christ, part of his coming, becoming a man in his ministry in his time before he went to the cross of Calvary, was just that, the reconciling with Israel of the provision of God. Remember how I told you about that passage in Luke that a man planted a fig tree in his vineyard? It's very easy to understand in the Scriptures how a fig tree indeed is representative of Israel. He's cursed the fig tree right here after his triumphant entry, saying that you don't have any fruit on you. Be thou cursed forever. And it dried up in that one day. It wasn't the fig tree that was the issue. It's symbolic of the nation that the Son has come to, been sent by the Father, and they're not ready to receive him. As a nation, they're not ready to render the due that God is due. All that is mixed in there with the Lord dealing with the nation of Israel and bringing them to captivity and their wickedness and the responsibility that he has given and the great salvation that he's brought into us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Did you notice something there? The kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. Remember what he said about the repentant son? There's still time for repentance. There's still time for contrition before God. I've been disobedient. I've not been listening and obeying. I've not obeyed what the Lord of the vineyard has said to do. He says, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. Falling on the Lord in contrition and repentance and faith in him and his word and what he says, his directive, his truth. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Those wicked men that they said he will miserably destroy, I tell you what, there is a place called hell and the lake of fire that no person on this side can understand the torment that is there for sinners. Another nation. Well, if he's taken it from Israel, who is he giving it to? If he's going to take it from those wicked husbandmen and give it to other husbandmen that'll bring forth the fruit in their season, who is that? Brothers and sisters, that's you and me. That's Olmsted Baptist Church. That's Independence Baptist Church. That's you and me. And you know what? You know what they said over here? Verse 41. Which shall render him the fruits in their seasons? We'll do it. We'll do it. He said, those guys were so sorry and so miserable in what they did and that wickedness that they pursued. They'll be destroyed. There'll be a lesson there for the disobedient. And those, that nation to whom he will give it to, they will render the fruits. They will bring it to the Lord as his design is. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard this, his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. Then it finally dawned on them. Don't you know that they wish that they could take verse 41 back? Too late. Too late. The Lord led them right down the road to reveal unto them. Remember how the Lord said, if I had not come and spoken to them, they'd not had sin? The Lord takes it and he pulls it right off of us. He exposes our sin, our wickedness, our hypocrisy. He exposes it all. That's what he did with them. That's what he does with you and me. And that's what we need. We need that. When we see that, may we repent of it and believe and cleave to our Lord and all that He said and His working. When the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard His parables, they perceived that He spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on Him, they feared the multitude because they took Him for a prophet. And He is. He is the prophet, isn't He? Isn't that something? The vineyard of the creation is our Lord's. It is His. The vineyard of His creation, the vineyard of creation is His. And you know what? He will receive His due. He will receive it. Just like I touched on again in the passage, you're familiar with it, Old Testament and New, it's referred to that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory and praise of the Father. I tell you what, do so here. Because if you do not do so here, you will do so there. Because He will receive His due. Glory, praise, honor, worship. Indeed, He will. And then in regard to His mention of giving such to another nation, I've told you about that. Given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. The Lord Jesus, He repeats that in verse number 43. They say so in 41 in general terms. He says in particular terms. I want us to read just a couple passages here. They speak for themselves. First, in Exodus chapter 19. Listen to what the Lord tells that nation as He's going to as He's delivered them. In Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 through 6, and Moses went up unto God, Exodus 19:3, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." Can you see a vineyard being prepared? Can you hear about a fig tree being planted? "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." It's all His. "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel," the Lord says, tells Moses. Well, we know as a nation they disobeyed, didn't they? They disobeyed, and at the timing of the coming of the Lord was kind of was the end of that. Not of them being His nation, but the keys of the kingdom, the oracle of God, the way to God, and the expectation of God, the command of God unto mankind. It wasn't going to be Israel that was going to hold it anymore. It's going to be that other nation. That nation that the Lord said that He would give it to, and that they, and what's He say? Given unto a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof, the fruits of that vineyard. 1 Peter chapter 2. Here, this word, it's given to and regarding you and me. We who are saved and a member here at Olmsted Baptist Church, Lord's other churches and His children therein. Listen to what the Lord says here, what Brother Peter is given by the Lord to us. "Wherefore, laying aside," 1 Peter 2, verse 1, "wherefore, laying aside all malice," getting back, "and all guile, deception, and hypocrisies, saying one thing and doing another, being like the son that said, I'll go, but did not, and envies, jealousy, and all evil speakings, what may we watch our mouth? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, may we do so." Do you know your word, the word from your Lord? Do you know about your Savior and what He's done for you? Do you consume the Word of God regularly? Do you meditate upon it? Do you ask Him to show you what it means and how it applies to your life? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. One of those ifs. Are you saved? It's only for the saved. It only be understood and pursued by the saved, the Lord's children. To whom coming as into a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, which we've seen over there, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, you and me, His children, as lively stones are built up in a spiritual house. We spoke about that Sunday, didn't we? And holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Not the sacrifices of the altar. Not the sacrifices where the meat offering and the drink offering was offered along with that animal sacrifice, but spiritual sacrifices of worship, praise, obedience, submission, and joy, and hope, and rest in our Lord, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious indeed. He's precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made head of the corner. Just like Jesus asked them. Haven't you ever read that? Haven't you ever read about the Son being rejected? And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the Word of God being disobedience. Wherefore, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. We are that nation. We are that nation that the Lord spoke about. We are that nation that those husbandmen, that even those leaders of Israel in that day referred to, and the Lord confirmed it. You and I are that. What are we doing with the vineyard? What are we doing with the provision? What are we doing with the Word? A royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people. Same kind of terminology that the Lord used with the nation of Israel. For the children in His churches. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Which in time past were not a people, like Israel was. They were a people. They were a nation birthed by God. But now, the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy, because He has been merciful indeed unto us. Our Lord's vineyard. How is it accounted by our Lord about what you and I are doing in His vineyard? What does He say? Are we yielding Him the fruits that would come from working in His vineyard? Are we being obeying to His word and His instruction? Are we looking to take and just use it for ourselves? Are we taking the vineyard of the Lord and working in it unto His honor and His glory and His praise? May the Lord help us that it be so with us. That when the Lord of the vineyard comes back, there's other parables along that line, aren't there? That He would be pleased with what we are pursuing in our obedience of Him.